I'm Candy Rich, the Vice President of the Board of Directors. Our President, Sharon Tobias, unfortunately is not with us this morning. She recently had, a death in her family, and she's off at a memorial service this weekend. So our condolences go out to Sharon and her family over the loss of her dad. So we thank all of the shareholders that have joined us this morning. I believe we have just one. Carol, thank you very much for joining us. So let's, as we usually do, do the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge
allegiance to the flag of the United States of America,
the Republic which stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. So for the benefit of our shareholders, let me introduce our board of directors. Obviously, I just introduced myself. One of our directors, Jeff Jones. Morning, Jeff.
Welcome.
John Dashner.
Present.
Thanks, John. Bill Cover.
Present.
Bruce Utter.
Here.
And we have Dan Crosby, who's on holiday in Spain as we speak, and of course, Sharon Tobias, which I mentioned briefly a moment ago. We have a couple of guests with us today. Andrew Ramos, who is our legal counsel. Andrew, thank you for being with us. And then Craig Lutz, who is a financial advisor to the company as well as the board of directors.
Morning.
So with that, let me turn it over to our general manager, Tyler Mayo, to introduce employees and other guests.
Hi, and in attendance today, I have Lee Schmeeds, our administration's operations manager, and I have Kathy Powell, our accounts manager. Not in attendance is Vince Grimes, our water master, Wesley Wooten, our assistant water master, and Tim Hay, our assistant water master.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Tyler. So for the meeting to legitimacy, so let me turn it over to Jeff Jones, our Director of Elections, to let us know if we have a quorum present.
Good morning, everybody. I'd like to thank everybody for being here today. As the Director of Elections, I'm reporting on the quorum and the results of the election. I'm going to define what a quorum is for us. It's the minimum number of voting members necessary to properly conduct business. We calculate this number by subtracting the delinquent accounts not eligible to vote from the total shareholders, which is 2,040. Subtracting that 85, we end up need equally 1,955 eligible votes. 20% of those eligible shareholders in good standing are needed for the quorum, which is 391 votes. As of this morning, we have 456, so we do have a quorum. And now the results. I'd like to congratulate Sharon. We only had one opening this year, and Sharon is serving on the board of directors for another term. Lastly, I just want to remind all of the other directors present that immediately after this meeting, we'll hold the election of officers for 2023-24. And as this is an open meeting, any shareholder that's with us that would like to attend this part of the meeting is welcome. Thank you.
All right. Well, that's good news, Jeff. Thank you very much. So moving on with our agenda, we need to approve minutes from previous annual meetings. Because of COVID and the pandemic, we weren't able to either have these meetings or establish a quorum. So first up is the annual chair meeting minutes of June 5, 2021. So are there any changes, additions, deletions? Hearing none, I'll accept a motion to approve.
I'll make a motion to approve.
A second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Next up is the are the minutes for the June 4th meeting of 2022. Any additions, changes, or deletions? Hearing none, I'll accept a motion to approve.
I'll make a motion to approve.
You don't.
We have a motion to approve and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, so this third item, I'm not sure I understand, Tyler, to adjourn the shareholders meeting of last year.
Yeah, because we did not have a quorum in June, and we re-met in July in hopes of we extended out the voting.
Okay, so we
did the quorum, and we still missed it in July.
Okay, so we need to adjourn that meeting?
Yes.
Director Rich, I just wanted to clarify that the title of that meeting was adjourned shareholder meeting, but it was just another continued meeting of the shareholders. So it's the same as the other meetings, but the title is adjourned shareholder meeting.
Okay, thank you. I'll accept a motion to adjourn that meeting.
I'll move to accept.
Second?
I'll second.
Wanted to clarify that the motion we were expecting would be a motion to approve the minutes for the adjourned shareholder meeting.
Let me amend my motion to accept the minutes of the shareholder meeting.
Thank you.
I'll second you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none. So let me take a few minutes and talk about our year in review. As some of you may be aware, we are still in stage one of our drought management program, which probably causes several of us to scratch our heads and say, why on earth would we be doing that? Well, first of all, it's the state. We do follow the state requirements when it comes to managing, drought situation. And as some of us know, most of the water that came this past year is still above ground. It hasn't found its way into the groundwater system, which is where most of the drought management, ends up, coming from. So until the groundwater is replenished back to an acceptable level, according to state criteria, we will remain in a drought situation, stage one of drought situation for the foreseeable future. I do want to take this time to also recognize the Blue Lake Springs Mutual Water Company team. Tyler and his crew faced an incredibly challenging and difficult winter, as I think all of us can appreciate. With at times nearly 8 to 10 feet of snow on the ground in the local area, with certainly a whole lot more up the mountain from us. Fortunately, we did not have any really serious outages or challenges because of the snow, but I'll have Tyler talk about that here in just a moment. So, Tyler, thank you to you and your great team for all that you did to keep the water flowing. Lastly, I want to also address what we have traditionally discussed. That being the Long Range Planning Committee. The Long Range Planning Committee was formulated or formed several years ago, pretty much in regard to the U.S. Department of Agriculture upgrade program for Blue Lake Springs. Since that project was completed early last year, we determined that the Long Range Planning Committee, as it had been formulated, was no longer a viable entity. And in place, we created 5 subcommittees, which have taken up the work of the Long Range Planning Committee. So those standing committees are as follows. So the standing committee and members and the leads are for finance and rates. Craig Lutz is lead, Bill Cover, John Dasher, and myself are members of that committee. We have a committee for infrastructure and facilities. Again, Craig Lutz is the lead. Bill Cover, Dan Crosby, and Jared Tobias are members of that committee. We have an investment management committee that looks after our various investments. Bill Cover, our treasurer, is lead. Craig Lutz, myself, and Dan Crosby are members of that committee. We have a personnel committee that takes into consideration, compensation and policy and procedure issues for the company. Myself as lead and Bruce Utter are the committee. And then we have, lastly, a water supply conservation and outreach committee, which is headed up by Jeff Jones, Sharon Tobias, members of the staff, and Joe Morgan, who is one of our very highly participating shareholders. So any questions from anyone regarding anything that I've had, I've said? If not, I'll turn it over to Tyler for the general manager's report.
Thank you, Andy, for your report. First off, I'd like to thank the shareholders for their participation in the proxies and votes. It was wonderful that we met a quorum this year. It's been a couple years since we've been able to do that. This was the first year we offered online voting. We had a really good turnout with the online voting, so we're going to offer it again next year. And please remember to update any of your contact info in the office if something has changed. We have quite a bit of turnover in Blue Lakes in the last couple years, and sometimes when we have issues finding leaks, we have little to no contact information. Going into the drought, or our drought reduction, I'd like to say, we went from drought stage 2 to 1. And of course, we only went to 1 because of, like Andy said, the state curtailments that they put forward, as well as the other local water companies are in the same boat and doing drought stage 1. So throughout the summer, we'll continue to monitor the state mandates, our usage and well levels to see if any further action will need to be taken regarding our drought restrictions. And throughout all of our rules and regulations, we do not allow the watering of forest trees, regardless of what drought stage we are in. I'd like to also thank the shareholders and Watermasters for last year's conservation efforts. Throughout 2022, we saved 35% system-wide, which was more than 2 times the amount that the state was mandating us to cut back by. So thank you very much for your conservation efforts. Another reminder to the shareholders that once the project was over, our rules and regulations had been updated to all the parts, equipment, and leaks past the meter are the homeowner's responsibility to install, maintain, or repair. This is listed in our rules and regulations, numbers 8 and 10. For more information about BLSMWC's rules and regulations, you can visit our website at blsmwc.com, or we're always available in the office Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. Feel free to give us a call or stop by. Or 8 to 4. I'm sorry. Thank you, Debbie. So then I have a little slideshow we made of what the guys have done in the field over this past year. Thank you. And I'll start here with, here's your three field operators. Starting from the left is your Watermaster, Vince Grimes. In the middle is your Assistant Watermaster, Wesley Wooten. And to the right is the Assistant Watermaster, Tim Hay. Excellent. So We get half of our water from CCWD. This is a picture of the altitude valve. This is what controls how much water comes in through CCWD. Since we had our agreement, we needed to update the valve from being a two-spring valve to a single-spring valve, as well as the controls within it needed to be rebuilt. So we have more control of how much water comes into the system. This is the flapper, the inside controls that needed to be replaced and rebuilt. That's the new flapper. And there's it being installed back into the vault. So that's one of our main pieces of equipment that has to operate correctly so we can stay within our agreement during the summer months with CCWD.
So how do you adjust the flow of water through that valve?
Currently, it operates in a 1 foot fluctuation in the tank. So the tank, it operates automatically. The tank will go down from 19 feet to 18 feet. It kicks on automatically, fills it back up to 19 feet. Mm. Before it was filling anywhere, it would always vary because of the two springs wasn't appropriate for how much height there is in the tank. It could operate from 3 to a 5 foot swing, which when it did the 5 foot swing, we were over our 100,000 per day allotment. So this was a very important upgrade to do.
And that allotment, that's what we've got under contract with CCWD.
Correct.
Right.
This is one of our many cut and taps, as I call it, that we are gonna have to do. This is us separating the old main from the new mains that were installed. This one specifically is the Unit 13 main that went across the golf course. So if it had ruptured within the golf course area, it would cause significant damage. So it was very important to get this cut and capped off and stop any pressure that was going across the golf course.
And upset a whole lot of people.
Right, yeah. If we had to shut down the golf course, that could have been a whole lot of people. This is another cut and cap that we had at tank 6. So at tank 6, we had an old transmission line coming up, and we have a new connection now up there. This was another cut and cap that needed to be accomplished, and that's Vince, your water master there in the hole, bolting up the blind plunge. The next few pictures are pictures of people who didn't properly wrap or shut off their cabins during the winter. When it starts to freeze, these are some of the many things that can happen. This was one on a back deck. The hose bib blew up. That was one. This one right here was also a hose bib that was just outside the box that blew up and completely iced over the bush that was sitting next to it. And this was another one where they had, you can see down low, it's not properly wrapped down low and then not properly wrapped above. And of course, those exposed areas was where it broke. So when you go into winter, be sure that all your outdoor equipment is properly wrapped all the way throughout. You don't want any exposed areas to open air. This was where our double check valve is that is going into.
Tyler, let me interrupt for a moment. Did we do any sort of education of, in the past couple of years, we've had a number of new homeowners in the area that probably aren't aware of, what it takes to winterize a cabin or the necessity of winterizing and that sort of thing. So do we do any sort of outreach to those folks?
Yeah, especially the new ones, they typically come in and a lot of them actually don't even know where their shutoffs are. We have to go out there and help them locate where their shutoffs are, how to properly shut down a cabin and drain it. We go out as the shareholders come in and ask us for information on it. We come out and provide that service and we'll show them exactly how we would like to see them shut down the cabin so you can mitigate any water loss.
We also send out a new shareholder packet that has how to winterize your cabin in writing, and it has a plumber's list as well, so that they can call and ask for help or call us.
Yeah.
So, yeah, every new shareholder gets that in writing.
Okay, good.
And let me just add that winterizing, all your pictures are from outside. When that pipe breaks inside, that's when the real damage is done to your property. So
correct.
It's critical that we protect the outside, but when it happens on the inside, that's when the big buck
yes.
come in.
I agree. And it's not just in the winter. With part-time residents, even shutting the water off in the summer is always a good idea.
But when you leave, it's a
occurrence.
Yeah, I've seen numerous ice-making lines or toilet lines pop off when nobody was there. And the house began to flood for sometimes over a month before anybody found it. Going forward, this is our double check valve vault that the drain wasn't working anymore. So this is them draining that vault. And then the next picture is in drilling out and installing a new drain within that vault so it stays dry. Typically, we were opening it and it was full of water every time. This is Vince repairing a hydrant that was hit by a snowplow over the winter. That does happen quite often. So we tried to move all the snow stakes that are protecting those hydrants to just out in front of them. So the snowplow knew that it was behind them. Originally, the county was wanting us to put them behind the hydrant. And when the county came through to plow, they didn't realize that there's a buffer zone in between that stake. And they tried to get real close to that stake and hit numerous hydrants this last winter. This is one of our new sample taps that we received from the USDA project. The stem within it was leaking down below and wouldn't seal off. It has about a 3-foot stem and a seal on the bottom to stop it. So Wes and Vince went out, dug it up and changed out the seal down below.
So what does this piece of equipment do?
Is where we actually receive our samples from to send to the state. Mm-hmm. And then that's him just fixing the actual seal down there right by the ground. This was one of our blow-offs that had cracked over the winter in a court. They had to dig it up and replace the ball valve within the blow-off so it no longer leaked. This was at Colleen Court, to be specific. This is from the back line on Spring Valley, one of our summer projects this summer to move the services off of that line out into the roadway. A tree faller had gone back there and dropped a tree and broke that pipe. And so that's us just digging it up. And then the last picture is Vince installing the dressers on it to get the water
out. Did we get compensated from the tree faller?
No, we typically do not get compensated for that because it's not a USAID, because they're not working underground. It's an accident when they drop those trees. During the pine beetle kill a few years back, this was happening on a daily occurrence sometimes. Mario's typically.
What's a dresser?
A dresser is those blue accessories right there. They basically clamp the old pipe and we can clamp in a new piece. And then it's the fastest way to fix it. So we're not waiting on glue to dry. And of course, if we had to do glue, we would have to dig it back quite a bit further to get the couplings together. So it's the fastest way. Without having to dig up as much as possible. This is a bypass at Castlewood. The main PRV right there, the ball valves, I'm not sure why they're cracking, but typically if we have a leak in these vaults, it's that ball valve in the bypass cracked and is leaking. So we've had to replace about 4 of them throughout the system since the end of the project.
Those valves are brass?
Yes, and that's going into this one right here. This picture here was at the Cypress Point. This picture here is at the Cypress Point pump house. This is actually the regulator that serves Unit 13, and another brass ball valve had cracked. And the next picture should show you that we replaced it with a stainless steel ball valve. They're a little bit more expensive, but we haven't had those cracked since we started using stainless steel ones in that place. So I believe it was a very good decision to upgrade to those. And there's the close-up of the stainless steel ball valve that we installed. This one was more recently. This is at Coyote Hills. There was the connection outside of the vault. It's an MJ connection with a reducer on it. The bolts, we feel the bolts weren't probably tightened all the way down, and it was spraying water out from the ground from behind the vault and was also filling up the vault with water. The next picture is of the reducer. The 6-inch side, the lower side of that picture is where it was leaking. We were lucky enough to be able to take all the pressure off of it, tighten it down, and the leak stopped. This was some damage over the winter. I believe the board has seen this picture too, of the level gauge that broke at tank 6. And that's us and a contractor that we rented the Genie lift from repairing that level gauge. This is one of the regulators, just a simple picture of the guys adjusting a regulator that needed more pressure or less pressure. I can't remember exactly on this one. And then the next picture is you have to run water on it to make the regulator operate and then make the proper adjustments. This last fall and early part of this year, we replaced the guts of our booster pumps at the treatment plant. They were nearly 50 years old. The most feasible way was just to rebuild them, and that was recommended by the man in this picture, Kurt. He has been our machinist and our pump repairman for about 30 years. So he knows our system very well, and he's very good at what he does. This is the pump itself taken apart with the impeller missing out of it. We had to replace the impeller, the shaft, and the bearings within that assembly. And that's the finished product. All new bearings, all new impeller, and we really expect it to last another 30 to 50 years without any issues. This is in Unit 13. This will be one of our areas of upgrade in the next 8 years. This was a service lateral or service main that coming into the meters there that had broke behind it. We had to do a small shutdown and the repair behind the meters. From the winter storms, this is one of many spots I'm about to show you where we had washouts. The water does quite a bit of significant damage to the pipeline next to the edge of the ditch, which we're addressing by replacing it with a higher grade road base and possibly a chip seal over the top of it. We even had some of our high flow areas that we did paving over this last summer to prevent it from happening again. These were all pictures from the big storm on January 1st. This was our big washout on Patricia and Moran Road.
And that storm was big enough to take out the approved compaction and fill. Yes. All that stuff. It was a monster.
Yeah, we definitely met all compaction with all that, and it was what the county wanted us to put back in there. It just was too much water all at once, and it damaged those areas. So this is the repair to that same spot. They repaired it with a more dense and compacting road base, as well as he's reshaping the ditch right there to keep the water away from that rock. And that spot still today is holding up as good as it looks in these pictures. And that's just them backfilling that hole. We have to do it in lifts because it was about 3.5-4 feet deep. This is one of the sections on Shirley that we actually paved over the top of where the gravel was because the mountain had no ditch in it and it's solid rock along that mountain edge. So we guided that water up against the edge of that mountain and protected it better with asphalt. And that spot as well is holding up very good.
Thank you.
And that's the final repair coming down Patricia right there.
with them replacing the road base in there and reshaping the ditch. This is a picture of the Cypress Point pump house. This was one of the main additions we did for the USDA project. It gives us the ability to send water from our tank 4 location to our tank 6. And prior to that, we could only send water from tank 6 to 4. So now that we have this pump station in there, we can go both directions. It really gives us a lot of options for when the power goes out, or if we're within our agreement, or if we have to take a tank offline to do some repairs. Before, if we have to take a tank offline, it would have been very, very tough to make sure we keep steady pressure to the community. So this was a major addition to our USDA project. And those are the two booster pumps that we alternate using that send the water from tank 4 to tank 6. And that's it for the slideshow.
Tyler, I have to say that I'm continually impressed with what it takes to just deliver water to our homes. You know, when you look at these pictures and you see the equipment and see the piping systems and the pump systems that are required to just get water to my faucet, it's really impressive. So, kudos to you and your team for keeping the water going.
Thank you. Wish every homeowner could hear this.
Yeah, it takes a lot, but the guys are very well at what they do. They're hardworking crew.
As I drive through Blue Lake Springs, I consider the hardening of the system kind of what the shareholders can look at above ground, what PG&E is doing to harden their system, obviously. Mm-hmm. You know, we are right there doing the right stuff. You think you've got it covered, and a storm comes in, that 100-year storm.
Yeah.
You can't hardly build for that in the very beginning.
No, you can't, and it's very difficult to plan for the future when the future is unknown.
Great work.
Yeah. Thank you. A few projects that we're going to try to accomplish late this summer will be where we're replacing 450 feet of our pumping line that goes from the treatment plant to tank 6. This was a planned portion of pipeline to replace during the USDA project, but we kind of ran out of time and money toward the end. So we've been saving for it, and we are ready to try to accomplish this summer. Another spot will be replacing the main line and services in Boro Court. It's about 160 feet of pipe and 7 services. So not too big on that one. And then from earlier where I showed that break on Spring Valley, we're trying to move the 2 services that are hooked to that main line in the back out to the front, and that's the third project we're going to be working on later this summer.
Are those the 2 houses that actually front on Meadow?
Ones on Meadow, they have water up to those homes out in the front. It's about halfway to 3/4 of the way to the top. There's 2 homes up there that haven't gotten done during the project. For the same reason we'll have issues with this summer, there's a lot of rock. We're going to have to probably open up the road and jackhammer across and make a trench in the rock and then replace that to get a service box out there for them.
Got it. On the corner of Spring Valley and Meadow.
Yeah. No, they all have
popular. One house.
Well, Tyler, that is a great report. Thank you. Any questions for Tyler?
I just like to add my kudos for the job that's done from the top to the bottom. For my 22 years living here, it's the best I've ever seen. It's fantastic. And you've got a great crew, all of the younger people you've hired. It's going to be performing extremely well.
Yeah, thank you.
Us old folks wouldn't do that kind of work. All right. Well, again, Tyler, thank you, and thank you to your team for the great job that you guys are obviously doing. So with that, let me turn it over to Bill Cover, our treasurer, for our financial report.
Hi. So there's good news from our treasurer. We our budget for 2023 was approved in, I think, December or January. Almost $1.7 million for the year. As of this month, we're within the budget as planned, and all our capital reserve accounts are fully funded. So there doesn't seem to be any problems. We're in good fiscal shape. And I'll reiterate what was said previously. The value we provide is realized when you turn your tap on and clean water is delivered. And the cost of the water itself is very low, but the cost of the service to deliver and treat water is the majority of our yearly expenses. So whether you choose to take one day's worth of water out of the tap or you live here full time, the cost of providing that service to you, at least from our perspective, is pretty much the same, roughly. So that's the report. I think whatever is available to the public, we can discuss. It's better to discuss these things and not in too much detail here, but if anybody wants to go over it with me, I'm available today.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Bill. So any other business for the board to consider today? Mm-hmm. Any questions or comments from our shareholders? Carol, any?
It sounds like you're doing a wonderful job. Thank you all.
Thank you. Thank you for the recognition. We really appreciate it.
And thank you for attending.
It's good to know what's going on.
We wish more shareholders had your level of interest. All right. Well, not hearing any other new business, I'll accept a motion to adjourn to our organizational meeting.
To adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, the meeting's adjourned to our organizational meeting.
Yes.
So do we have a form for the various officers?
You got it.
Okay.
Of officers.
All right, so we have the slate of officers for the past year, with Sharon Tobias as president, myself as vice president, Bill Cover as secretary and treasurer, and then our directors at large, Dan Crosby, John Daphner, Jeff Jones, and Bruce Utter. So officers for this coming year, I will accept nominations for president.
So can I just ask you, is it open part of the meeting or closed?
Yes, it's open.
Okay.
I'd like to nominate Sharon.
He will accept.
we have told her I'm
sorry. Okay, we're going to do that.
Since she's not here, we're going to make her friend.
I look at the step.
All right, so Sharon's been nominated, and we know that she has accepted the position as president.
I'll second the nomination.
Okay. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right, so vice president, I have volunteered to continue on, unless somebody wants to take it over.
Call for a vote.
Well, nominated.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
You don't count.
So for secretary and treasurer, we've traditionally combined those roles. So
I'll do it unless somebody else wants it.
Does anybody else want it? I think Sharon might want it. All right, so I'll entertain a motion for Bill to remain the secretary and treasurer.
I'll make the motion.
Second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So I think that pretty well does it for the officers. So we have, committee appointments.
Yeah, if anybody wants to change, if anybody would like to be removed or added from a committee, now's the time.
I'm good where I'm at on there.
Okay. I think you have quite a few responsibilities there, Craig.
I'm good. Very good. Everybody good with their committee appointments?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. So do we need a motion to accept these?
So there it says committee appointments, so the chair appointment.
Well, I think at one of our board meetings, we sort of raised our hands and volunteered for committees that we thought we could contribute.
Andy's correct. We talked about this when we first formed the committees, and I believe that the board landed on making these board appointments rather than president appointments.
Okay. Well, I'm good with them. So
we need a motion to approve these?
I think so, yes.
Okay, so I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion we accept the committee appointments as presented.
I'll second. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Any other business for the committee while we're here, or the board while we're here?
I apologize for being late because I was to approve the minutes. I might get fired.
Well,
never.
There you go. Well, thank you for all your help. I know that you have been very instrumental in helping move things along, particularly with the voting.
You're very welcome. I'm very fond of these people and the work that they do.
Yeah. All right. So with that, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Move to adjourn.
Sorry. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The annual meeting of the